السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So quick review, inshallah. Last week we talked about the merits of Medina Munawwara, the fadail of Medina Munawwara. We talked about the prayer inside Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you pray 40 prayers consecutively in the Haram, you'll get bara'a, you'll get safety from the azab of the fire, and safety from becoming a munafiq. So we talked about that. We talked about the rewards of praying inside Masjid al-Nabawi. And one of the things that towards the end, and I want to just review that a little bit, I found a hadith actually talking about how the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that Medina is like a furnace, and it purifies itself from the khabath, from the impurities, just like a furnace, like a haddad, like a blacksmith when he's making a sword, and he purifies the iron or the sword from the impurities by putting it back into the fire over and over again. Same thing, Medina Munawwara purifies itself. So there's one hadith, for example, Imam Muslim rahimahullah has narrated this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَدْعُو الرَّجُلْ إِبْنُ عَمِّي إِبْنَ عَمِّي وَقَرِيبَهُ هَلُمَّ إِلَى الرَّخَى هَلُمَّ إِلَى الرَّخَى وَالْمَدِينَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. That there will be a time will come when the people, when a person will call their cousin or their relative or a close brother or sister, whatever you know the relationship is, but a relative, and they'll say to them that come to khair, meaning the person is living in Medina Munawwara, and the person saying to them, come outside, leave Medina basically, and come to this city, because there's a lot of ease here, there's a lot of prosperity here, so just leave Medina and come here. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Wal Medina khairul lahum law kanu ya'lamun." But Medina is better for them only if they had known. Only if they had known the merits of staying in Medina. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, and I swear by the one who in whose hand is my soul, the Prophet says, swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٌ رَغْوَةً عَنْهَا إِلَّا أَخْلَفَ اللَّهِ فِيهَا خَيْرًا مِنْ. That a person does not leave Medina Munawwara disliking it. Okay, one thing, I mentioned this, sometimes a person leaves because not out of their own will, not because they're forced out or anything. I mean, they are forced out or there's some other reason for them to leave, but they do not want to leave. And one of the examples I'll give is one of my teachers, Sheikh, well, I won't say his name, but one of my teachers, he's been living in Medina Munawwara for the last about 18 some years, and I think except one of his sons, all his kids, his daughters, sons, they were all born in Medina Munawwara. And just recently, I think it was the second or third day of Ramadan, and unfortunately, I think it was because of the teaching, the learning and teaching that was taking place, teaching hadith and that kind of stuff was going on. They actually arrested him, and they took him out. They deported him from Medina, along with his whole family, entire family. So he's in Pakistan right now. And one of the things I heard is, unfortunately, you know, Allah bring him back, inshallah, bring us all back to Medina. When he was given the news that he has to leave immediately, he has to leave Medina Munawwara, he fell on the ground and he was crying out of his love of Medina. So someone who is taken out of their own their own will, that's they're leaving themselves, that's a different story. And someone who is taken out because they don't want to leave, but they are taken out for one reason or another, that's a different story. Here the Prophet says in this hadith that a person leaves أَحَدٌ رَغْبَةً عَنْهَا, that a person does not leave رَغْبَةً عَنْهَا, that out of his own free will and hatred out of living in Medina or not liking to live in Medina, that a person leaves إِلَّا أَخْلَفَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا خَيْرًا مِنْ, except Allah SWT replaces that person with someone who is better than them. So this is something very dangerous, the people who live in Medina Munawwara. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that this, and this is to do with when the Prophet and the Sahaba first moved to Medina Munawwara, one of the Arab, one of the Bedouins came and he gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala al-Islam fa asab al-a'rabi wa'kun bil Medina, and the person became very sick. And this is in the beginning, we'll talk about that in, inshallah, in the Zars, what happened exactly. He became sick, so he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked the Prophet ﷺ to return his bay'ah to him, basically to cancel the pledge. The Prophet ﷺ refused three times in a row. He kept on coming, asking the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said no, and then the person left. Just left Medina out of his own will, not wanting to stay in Medina Munawwara. And the Prophet ﷺ at that point, when he learned about what happened, he says, "Innama al-Madina kalkir tanfi khabathaha wa yansa'u tibuha or tayyibuha." That, oh, come on, Qasim, that the Medina Munawwara is like a furnace. It purifies itself from the khabath, from the impurities, and the tayyib, the pure and the good person, is even shines even more. It's basically purified and it becomes even brighter in it. So that leads us to the next discussion, inshallah, the sickness and illness of the Muhajirun in Medina Munawwara. So when the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba moved to Medina Munawwara, they very much missed Makkah Mukarramah. We talked about how the Prophet ﷺ leaving Makkah, he turned to Makkah Mukarramah and he said that how beautiful of a place you are, how beloved you are to me. And if it wasn't for my people forcing me to leave, I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have left Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarramah. But the people forced him out, basically. So when the Sahaba, they came to Medina Munawwara, the environment was different. The hawa, the air was different. And so because of that, they actually got sick. Some of them got sick, and they got sick to a point where they were feverish, and they were just basically on the ground laying and just in pain and suffering because of that change of environment. And Aisha radhiallahu anha narrates this hadith. She says that لَمَّا قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَدِينَةَ. So when the Muslims came to Medina, قَدِمَهَا وَهِيَ أَوْبَأُ عَرْضِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْحَمَّةِ, that it was the place where the fever would be present. It was present in Medina Munawwara. So فَأَصَابَ أَصْحَابَهُ مِنْهَا بَلَاءٌ وَسَقْمٌ. So some of the Sahaba, they got sick. وَصَرَّفَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the Prophet himself was protected by Allah subhanahu from that sickness. She says that Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, Amr bin Fuhaira, and Bilal radhiallahu anhu, these three, they were all three of them were staying in the same house. So they were staying together in the same house, and they all bayt in wahin, they all became sick. فَصَابَتْهُمْ الْحُمَّى, they got fever, they got sick. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَعُودُهُمْ. So Aisha radhiallahu anha, and this is before she mentions this, this is before the hijab, before the parda became fard. So she came into the house to visit her father, Amir ibn Fahira and Bilal radhiallahu anhum ajma'in. She came to visit them to see how they're doing. So she came in, فَدَنَوْتُ مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. So she said, I went close to my father and I said, كَيْفَ تَجِدُكَ يَا أَبِي, how are you doing, how are you feeling, my father? فَقَال, and then he would say this, all three of them, they had poetry they would recite. And this is one of the things of the Arab, when they really loved something or they were longing for something, they would just formulate poetry, beautiful poetry, expressing their feelings. So Abu Bakr radhan, he was reciting, كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مُصْبِحٌ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَالْمَوْتُ أَدْنَى مِنْ شِرَاكِ نَعْلِهِ. That every single person is musbih, every person wakes up in the morning, fi ahli, wakes up around their family, with their family. وَالْمَوْتُ أَدْنَى مِنْ شِرَاكِ نَعْلِهِ. And maut, death, is closer to that person than the shoelaces of their sandals or of their shoes. So, talking about basically how death is close, that a person, he was thinking that he might even die from this. That's how strong and severe the sickness was. And then she says, "Wallahi ma yadri abi ma yaqul." So she says to herself, "I swear, my father doesn't know what he's saying. He's so much in this fever. He has such a high fever. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He's just reciting stuff and saying that death is close." Then she says, I went to Amr ibn Fuhayra radhiallahu anhu and said to him, how are you? And he responded with his poetry saying, لَقَدْ وَجَدْتُ الْمَوْتَ قَبْلَ ذَوْقِهِ إِلَّا الْجِمَانَ حَتَّفَهُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ. So again, talking about death, talking about how I have experienced death before it even came. I have tasted death before it even came. That's how severe the fever was. Then also he said, كُلُّ مُرِئٍ مُجَاهِدٌ بِتَوْقِهِ كَالثَّوْرُ الْيَحْمِي جِلْدَهُ بِرَوْقِهِ. So he says this, and then the next was Bilal Radhan. He says, she asked him, how are you doing? And he was laying, she describes him, وَكَانَ بِلَال إِذَا أَدْرَكَتْهُ الْحَمَّةُ. When he was laying, or when he had the fever, he would ittaja bifina'i al-bayt. So he would go to the porch of the house and he would lay down on the ground and he would recite this poetry. أَلَا لَيْتَ شَعْرِي هَلْ أَبِيْتَنَّ لَيْلَةً بِفَخٍ وَحَوْلِ إِذْخُرٍ وَجَلِيلٍ. And this is actually, he's remembering some of the plants of Makkah Mukarramah. So you have Idhkhur that's used when a person dies to wash the body, and it's a sweet smelling plant. So they use that when, and Jaleel is another type of plant of Makkah Mukarramah. So he's saying that, when will that time come, or will that time come? When hal abitanna layla, when I will stay just one night in Makkah, bifakhin wa hawli idhkurin wa jaleel, when around me, surrounding me, is these things, these plants. So you see how they were remembering Makkah Mukarramah, and they were longing to see Makkah Mukarramah again and see the Kaaba again. Now Aisha radhiallahu anha, she says, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned how they, you know, the fever that they were experiencing and the poetry that they were reciting and, you know, their condition. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raises his hands, he says, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-madina ka hubbina Makkah aw ashad. O Allah, put in our hearts, make the love of Madina Munawwara in our hearts just like our love of Makkah, aw ashad, or even more than the love we have for Makkah Mukarramah. وَصَحِّحْهَا وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي سَعِيهَا وَمُدِّهَا وَانْقُلْ حَمَاهَا فَجْعَلْهَا بِالْجُحْفَةِ. So the Prophet says, and put barakah in the sa'a of Medina and the mud of Medina. These are measurements of different, like when you're measuring dates and barley and grain and that kind of stuff. So put barakah in these things. وَانْقُلْ حَمَاهَا فَجْعَلْهَا بِالْجُحْفَةِ. And send its send the fever of Medina to Juhfa. We basically send it outside of Medina Munawwara. And that dua was accepted, and alhamdulillah, the Sahaba became cured, or they became better from the fever and the sickness, and they were able to live in Medina without sickness after that. Now, one of the things the Prophet ﷺ did when he first moved to Medina Munawwara, we talked about how he built the masjid. That was the first thing he did. One of the other things that he did in the beginning, right when he started, when he established the community of Medina Munawwara, was the brotherhood. The akhuwa or mu'akhat. It's called mu'akhat or the akhuwa, the brotherhood of the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ started pairing the muhajirun with the ansar. So one of the muhajirun with one of the ansar, pairing them in that way to establish the brotherhood, establish the community, because the people from muhajirun from Makkah and other places where who are doing hijrah, they're new to the city, okay? And they don't have the means, they don't have business, they don't have, you know, and also to build the community so that they can grow to love one another and they can have that strong bond of uhuwa or the brotherhood between one another. So the Prophet ﷺ was pairing them off. And Ali radiallahu an was not assigned anyone. So he complained to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said that, I have no one, you did not pair me with anyone. And the Prophet ﷺ says to Ali radiallahu an, Anta akhi fi dunya wal akhirah. You are my brother in this world and in the akhirah. So this is like a bashara also, that you will be not only just in this dunya, you're going to be with me, but you will be with me in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to be of those with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah for those, inshallah. So we have the brotherhood that was based on both material and spiritual support. So it wasn't just material, but it was also spiritual. Anything that the needs of the Muhajirun, the Ansar were there first and foremost to give whatever support they can give to these Muhajirun, to the immigrants. And this is, the experience of this, it's called the Hijra and the Nusra. Okay, and this is one of the things that the ulama have formulated. If you see, when we go to Jamaat, when you leave out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have this, you experience this akhuwa in Jamaat. You have the hijra portion for the people who are actually out in Jamaat, leaving their homes, leaving their locality to go, travel outside of their place, going to a new land, a new masjid. Okay, and they're staying in this place. They don't know anybody there. They don't, they don't have any relationships or anything like that over there. And then you have the locals, the Ansar, the people who are doing the Nusra. Okay, the people of the locality who help them. They do, for example, they go out with Jawla, they go with Gusht with them. They help them with whatever needs they have. So this is an experience that we can a portion of that Ahuwa that we can experience when we go out in Jamaat. Now one hadith, the Prophet this is Ibn Abbas radhiallahu anhu, he narrates, he says, and this is from Sahih Bukhari, he says that the Muhajirun and the Ansar, initially they would inherit from each other. That's how strong this brotherhood was, that it was strong, as it was just like the familial ties. It was just like someone, like a brother to brother, father to son, that kind of relationship, where they would inherit from each other. So Ibn Abbas radhiallahu anhu, he says, كَانَ الْمُهَاجِرُونَ لَمَّا قَدِمُوا الْمَدِينَةِ يَرِثُ الْمُهَاجِرَ الْأَنصَارِ. So they would inherit from the Ansari, دُونَ ذَوِي رَحْمَةِ لِلْأَخُوَّةِ الَّتِي آخَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. So they would inherit from each other. And then there was an ayah that came where Allah SWT revealed an ayah, and then that was nasakh, the nasakh of that the hukum. When they were strong, the ties were strong, then they were no longer inherit from each other after that. Another hadith where the Muhajirun, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is related by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina Munawwara, atahu al-Muhajirun, the Muhajirun came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, faqalu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma ra'ina qawman abdala min kathirin wala ahsana mawasat من قليل من قوم نزلنا بين أظهرهم لقد كفونا المؤمؤون وأشركونا في المهنة حتى لقد خفنا أن يذهبوا بالأجر كله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ما دعوتم الله لهم وأثنيتم عليهم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, he says that the Muhajirun came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they were basically asking the Prophet, and they said that we have never seen any people more generous and more helpful, more generous when they have the means and more helpful when they have little than the people that we have come and settled amongst, meaning in Medina Munawwara. They have looked after us and they have let us join them, and they share on all their happy occasions to such an extent that we are afraid. So they're saying to the Prophet, we are afraid that they will take all the ajr, that they will go ahead and they will take all the ajr because they're helping us out so much and they're doing so much for us. The Prophet ﷺ said, not so long as you pray for them and you praise them, meaning you pray to Allah SWT for them, for all the things that they do for you, and you praise them and you make dua for them. Because as long as you do that, then inshallah ta'ala, you will also be getting the reward, just like they're getting the reward. Now some examples, there's many examples of ukhuwah between the Muslims. Some examples I'll give, inshallah, just two examples. Here we have Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radhan, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radhan, is one of the Ashara Mubashirin bin Jannah, one of the 10 who were promised paradise in one hadith of the Prophet, all in one named, all 10 of them were named in one hadith. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf came to Medina Munawwara, فَآخَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ سَعْدِ ibn Rabi' al-Ansari رضي الله عنه. So Sa'd ibn Rabi' from the Ansar, and then you had Abdul Rahman ibn Auf from the Muhajirun. They were paired as brothers. وَكَانَ سَعْد ذَا غِنَى, meaning Sa'd was very rich. He had a lot of wealth. And he was one of the leaders of Medina actually. فقال لعبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه أقاسمك مالي نصفين وأزوجك. قال, so he says to him that I will take my wealth and I will split it in two. You take half of my wealth. And he had a lot of wealth. Okay, it's not easy to do. He said, I have this much wealth. Take half of it. It's yours. And he says in another hadith, it tells here, it says, وَزَوَّجُكْ, and I'll get you married. But there's another hadith of Bukhari where it mentions in detail where he says, I have two wives. So go and you can look at them, and whichever one you choose, I will do talaq, I will divorce that woman, and when she becomes halal for you, you can marry her. This is the how much, you know, they were going to, for their brothers, the Muhajirun, how much they're willing to sacrifice and give up. And this shows it's you know, the love they had for each other, the akhuwa they had for each other. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radhan, he says to Sa'd radhan, Barakallah lak fi ahlik wa malik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your wealth and in your family. I don't need any of that. Dulluni ala souk. He says, I don't need any of that, but rather tell me where the souk is. Tell me where the marketplace is, so I can go and start doing business. فَمَا رَجَعَ حَتَّى اسْتَفْضَلَ أَقِطًا وَسَمْنًا. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf goes to the marketplace, and this is from the barakah. The Prophet had made dua for him also. He, whenever he would do any type of business, he would be making tons of profit. And he was a very excellent, he was an excellent businessman. And but the trick is, he did not let the hub of that wealth enter in his heart. So in today's time, they take the wealth that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had at that time, and they said, if you take it in today's time, in the equivalent of that wealth, it's in the billions. So he's, you know, richer than Bill Gates, richer than all these, you know, what is that, Tesla guy and the Amazon guy and all these different guys, okay? So he's richer than all, that's how much wealth he had. And he started off, he was empty, and he came to Medina empty-handed, and he started doing business, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in his wealth, that he was able to, and within a few days, yeah.
He didn't write a book, did he, about how to do business?
No. But we do have a hadith, I'll give you that, inshallah. There's a sahih hadith where there was a person, he was walking, and he says, I heard some voices in the clouds. And I said to myself that, what's going on here? Who's this? And what are they saying? He heard them saying, someone gave an order to the other that go and give water to the hadiqa, the garden of so-and-so. So he said, I followed that cloud start moving then. And he said, I was just amazed. So he started following the cloud until it went and it rained upon a certain area. And he said he saw a man who was standing there and he was farming. So he went up to him and he said, that, what do you do that this is what happened, this is what I heard, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this cloud to you specifically. What is it that you do? And he says that, well, since you, this whole thing, I'll tell you now because of this whole story what happened. And he says that basically whatever he profits out of his business, out of his farm, one third of it he spends on his family, one third of it he puts back into the farm, like reinvests it, and one third he gives away in charity. So we see that giving away charity is one of the secrets of being a successful businessman. And you'll see Allah SWT will give you tenfold, will give you multiple fold back if you give out in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even clouds will be sent on your land to give you extra barakah. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he comes back after a few days of being in the market, and he comes back and the Prophet saw that he had some type of yellow. It was in his beard or on his clothes or something, on his clothing. It was some type of saffron. It's a yellow type of thing that they use in weddings and that kind of stuff. And the Prophet ﷺ says to him that mahyam. Mahyam is a word, basically what it means is, what is this? Like, what happened here? And he says, قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَزَوَّجْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ, that I have married, this is within a few days, okay, Imran, you listen? So he said, within a few days, I have married one of the people from Ansar. So within a few days of doing business, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in his wealth so much, and he actually got married within a few days of moving to Medina, he got married. So he says to the Prophet, I have married one of the Ansar. قَالَ مَا سُقْتَ إِلَيْهَا, what have you given to her as mahr? And he responds by saying, قَالَ نَوَاتًا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ, a golden nugget. Okay, within a few days, he was able to do business. Someone, he had a golden nugget, he gave it to her as the mahr, as a dowry, and he married her. And the Prophet says, وَأَوْلِمْ وَلَوْ بِشَاتْ, go ahead and do the walima, even if it's just one goat or one lamb, but go ahead and do the walima. So, okay, another example. Another example is Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu and Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, remember we talked about him, he was from Faris. He was from Persia, and he didn't come from Mecca, he came from Persia, and he had a long journey, long history behind him. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was one of the people from the Ansar, from Medina Munawwara. So the Prophet ﷺ made them brothers. And in this hadith, this is related by Tirmidhi, rahimullah. He says that one day, Fazara Salman Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu came to visit his brother in Islam, the Akhuwa, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Fara'a Umma Darda mutabadhila. So he saw Umm Darda, and again, this is before, this is right in the beginning of Medina Munawwara, and after Hijrah. So the hijab was not fard yet, it was before hijab. So Salman radhiallahu anhu sees the wife of Abu Darda, Umm Darda radhiallahu anha, mutabadhila, meaning that she's wearing like not too fancy clothes, she's not really like dressed up. Okay, so he says to her that ma sha'nuk mutabadhila, why are you like this, like, you know, your husband's about to come home, why aren't you dressing up, or why aren't you wearing some kind of good clothes, why are you wearing these old shabby clothes? Basically qalat inna akhak Abu Darda laysa lahu hajatun fid dunya, your brother Abu Darda does not have any haja, meaning he does not want anything from dunya, he's too much into his worship, and he's too much into his fasting, worship, and praying all night, that, you know, he doesn't really notice me. She's kind of complaining that he doesn't even notice me. So there's no point of me dressing up. Basically, I don't need to dress up for him. So Salman radhiallahu anhu waited for his brother Abu Darda radhiallahu anhu to come home. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَبُو دَرْدَى قَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ طَعَامًا. So Abu Darda radhiallahu anhu comes home, and he gets the food. There, you know, Salman radhiallahu anhu is visiting him, so he brings food out for Salman radhiallahu anhu to eat, and he says, here, eat. And Salman radhiallahu anhu says to him that, are you going to eat with me? He says, no, I'm fasting. Okay, in Nisa'im, ma ana bi'akil hatta ta'kul. So Salman radhiallahu anhu says, I will not eat until you eat with me. So you have to break your fast. It's not Ramadan, it's not one of the, you know, wajib days, he's not making up a fast or anything like that. It was one of the sunnah days. So he's basically saying to him that I will not eat until you eat with me. So break your fast. Fa'akal. So Abu Darda broke his fast and he ate with his guest, with Salman. Falamma kana al-layl dhahaba Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu liyaqum. So when it was time to sleep, Abu Darda then goes and does wudu, and he stands up. He's about to pray nawaf. He's about to pray. فَقَالَ لَهُ سَلْمَانُ نَمْ فَنَامُ. So Salman radhiallahu anhu tells him, go to sleep. He goes, lay down. And Salman radhiallahu anhu was older, okay, so out of respect, Abu Darda radhiallahu anhu does not say anything. He says, okay, and he lays down, he goes to sleep, right? ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ يَقُومُ. So after a little while, maybe he's seeing if Salman going, you know, once he falls asleep, I'll get up and pray. So he gets up to pray again. And Salman radhiallahu anhu is still awake, and he notices him getting up. So he says he's getting up, and he says to him that nam fanam. So he says that again, go to sleep. So he lays down and he goes to sleep again. Then a little bit after, when it was time for tahajjud, like right before Fajr time came in, qala lahu Salman. So Salman got up and he woke up and he says qum al an. So now get up to pray. Faqama fasallaya. So both of them stood up and they both prayed the Hajj prayer together. فَقَالَ إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِضَيْفِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا فَأَعْتِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقًّا فَأَتَيَا النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَذَكَرَ ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ لَهُ صَدَقَ سَلْمَان. So the Prophet so they get up at the end of the night, right before Fajr time. So basically, you could say the last one third of the night, or even after that, or just before Fajr. Basically, they got up and they prayed Tahajjud together, and then Salman radhiyallahu anhu gives them golden advice. He says to Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu, he says that inna li nafsika alayka haqqa, that your nafs, your soul, your body, it has rights upon you. وَلِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, and your Rabb has rights upon you. وَلِضَيْفِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, and your guest has rights upon you. وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, and your family, your wife and your kids, they have rights upon you. وَفَعَتِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ, so give everyone their due rights. So don't be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night and then not giving attention to your wife and your kids. Don't be reading books all day, being in the masjid all day, for example, and not giving attention to your wife and family, or to your work, or to your body, to your soul, not resting, staying up all night, fasting all day, that kind of stuff. Don't do that. Don't push yourself like that. But use everything, give everyone their right, and be in the middle, basically the middle ground and everything. So he says this, and then they went to the Prophet ﷺ. And Abu Darda actually complained to the Prophet ﷺ. He says, this is what happened yesterday. I was fasting. He made me break my fast. So he says to the Prophet ﷺ that Salman made me break my fast. Then I was about to get up to pray. He forced me to go. He told me to go to sleep. So I went to sleep. Then until the last part of the night, we got up and we prayed. So he says, this is what happened. And then he reiterated the golden advice of Salman radhiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ responds by saying, Sadaqa Salman, that he has spoken the truth. He has told the truth. Basically, whatever he says, listen to your brother. Excuse me. So this is another example. Now, from the ayah of the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa fa aslihu bayna akhawaykum wattaqullaha la'allakum turhamun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah number 10 of Surah Al-Hujurat, that the believers are but brothers. So make settlement and basically fix whatever is between your brothers. If they any kind of a disagreement, anything like that, fix whatever is between your brothers and fear Allah so that you may receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, the kamalul iman, having complete iman, to fulfill iman, is one of the signs of that is that someone who loves for their brother what they love for themselves. And this is what the Sahaba learned from this ukhuwah, that loving for your brother what you love for yourself. So Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسي. That a person will not be a true mu'min until they love for their brother what they love for themselves. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's reported to have said, "Tara al-mu'minin fi tarahuhim wa tawaduhim, tawadihim wa ta'atufihim wa kamathal al-jasad, kamathal al-jasad. Idha ishtaka minhu 'adwun tada'a lahu sa'iru jasadi bis-sahr wal-humma." That the believers in their mutual love and their mercy to each other, their compassion to each other, are like one single body. Okay, if one part feels pain, then the rest of the body stays up in all night with sahar, stays up all night in pain and fever. And this is something that we understand, today's science and medicine, that when someone, for example, if they have like a deep cut or a broken arm or something like that, for example, if you, Allah protect us all, if you experienced that before, like for example, when I had the accident, I remember the extreme pain I was having, and that's, the bones are here. You know, I have a broken bone here, but my whole body is fevering up. I'm burning up in pain. I'm not able to sleep because, even though the pain is in just one part of my body. So that's the example the Prophet ﷺ tells us, is that it's like one body, and when one part is having some trouble or having pain, then the rest of the body cannot sleep, but it stays up and experiences that pain. It goes through the same pain and the suffering with that body part. So this teaches us the solidarity with all the Muslims that are suffering all over the world. And you know, we should think of that again. Look at what's going on in Palestine, in Burma, in China, you know, everywhere, any place you name it in the Muslim world, the people of Kashmir, for example, anywhere you name it, all the oppression and the torturing and all the zulm that's going on. And that's why we should be like one body. And this akhuwa that we have, it wasn't based on race, it wasn't based on wealth, it wasn't based on color of skin, it wasn't based on anything, but it was based on being brothers. And that unity they had, it was stronger, that bond became stronger than blood relatives. That's how strong that relationship was. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to have this ukhuwa again, this brotherhood again, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.